Blog Talk Radio.
I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you.
Just wait.
And they ain't breaking my word. I just wish that I could fly like a bird. Get away from this earth. Had a prayer and prayer, felt I was cursed. Always tell myself it could've been worse. Never going back, I broke the reverse. It come from my soul, no need to rehearse. A lot of time I was in need of work. Talk to God like I needed to work. Jumped in line like I needed it first. But I was being selfish, you know this don't affect a lot of people. I was being careless, took a break and stepped away. I'm coming back when I get ready. I know this breaks people into pieces, but I ain't gon' let it.
Yo, Blaze, you crazy for this one. Hey, all the champions out there, feel so good. Hey, I said it feels so good.
We are victorious.
You can take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know the kingdom of God is at hand? Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is at hand now. Hallelujah. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but the kingdom of God is at hand now. He said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Jesus is already in the camp. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be before you long, but I'm just going to drop a short foundation, and then we're going to pray for some people. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe in this hour that God is causing us to make the necessary adjustments. He's causing us to get in line. He's causing things to line up concerning us because it's a quick work that needs to be done. I believe that God is getting his church ready. He's getting his church ready and so we can be sent out. Because in this evil day, it's going to take some real saints with some real power to conquer these real devils that's being released. How many know the enemy is not playing? And we're going to need some saints that's on fire, that's sold out for the kingdom. Holiness is still right. Amen. We're going to need some saints that's holding up the bloodstained banner and stand flat foot and tell the enemy, no, you cannot come into this city. You cannot come into this gate. God is raising up strong intercessors. He's raising up strong watchmen. He's raising up strong gatekeepers that will keep the gates of the city. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you on your post? Are you on your gate? It's time for a spiritual checkup. It's time for a spiritual checkup because some of us is out of line. Some of us is on the fence. Some of us is asleep. Some of us is in sin. But God ready to deal with that today. Amen. Because the kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. Hallelujah. The kingdom of darkness is forcefully advancing, and the Lord wants the kingdom of God to forcefully advance, but it's going to take you getting on your post. It's going to take you doing what you need to do in order to make the proper adjustments. Turn to your neighbor and say, the proper adjustments. With the proper adjustments, there's some things you got to walk away from. There's some relationships you need to cut when you're making the proper adjustments. There's some soul ties that you need to break when you make the proper adjustments. There's some things that God wants you to just flat out walk away from. There's some things that's in your phone. He just wants you to flat out delete them. Delete the contact. I don't know about you, but I got an iPhone and I can block the contact once I delete it. There's some relationships that you're in right now. I know I'm talking. I know I'm in the building. There's some relationships right now. You need to delete the contact and block it. Because there's no future in it. There's no future. There's no future in that relationship with you that you're with. That ain't your husband. He's somebody else's husband. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I ain't scared to preach the gospel because, see, I'm getting on the plane tomorrow, and I'm going back to Youngstown, and I'm going to continue to bust heads in Youngstown, Ohio region. See, because I'm on my post. I'm on my wall. I'm on my wall, and that devil can't come in the gates of the city of Youngstown, Ohio. He's a liar and a defeated foe. You see, Jesus obtained his order of victory 2,000 years ago on Calvary that we can stand in our rightful place in the earth. Are you in your rightful place? Are you in position? A lot of us want the blessings of God, but we're not in position. There's a certain posture. There's a certain position that you must be in order to receive the blessings of God. There are prerequisites in order to receive the blessings of God. You wonder why your finances are not flowing. You're not a tither. And when your pastor asks you for extra money, you keep it and you go to McDonald's. Your God is your belly. Oh, y'all ain't ready for me in this Presbyterian church. Hallelujah. 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 Like I said at Pastor Grant's conference, I'm a gangster in the spirit. I come to take your freedom back. I come to stand with you. I come to act as a liaison to begin to pray with you, to begin to touch and agree with you, that your freedom will return, that you can go out and be effective marketplace ministers in the earth. Hallelujah. I want to see people free. I want to see them delivered. I want to see them walking in their destiny. I want to see them fulfilling the purposes of God. I want to see them hitting the nations. I want to see them opening ministries. It ain't just for the four walls. It ain't just for the four walls. God wants us to release the anointing in the marketplace. He wants us to release the anointing in the Walmart lines. He wants us to begin to flow in such authority where you in the line and you say, you know what? I'm going to pay for your whole bill. See, God wants us to be effective. Sometimes you're not going to reach people until you're able to pay their rent. Until you're able to buy groceries for. A lot of people are not trying to hear you. They ain't trying to hear the prophetic flow. Because they ain't got no house. They ain't got nowhere to live. So God wants to raise us to that level where we're effective, where we're able to pay people's rent and get groceries and sow money into their lives. I don't know about you, but I'm a strong giver in the earth. And my cup never runs dry. Because see, when you give, it comes back. It's just a principle. You don't have to be spiritual for that. When you give, it comes back. But the Lord makes us promises in the Word of God as we began to give and as we began to give our tithes. He said, overflow. He said, he'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. See, when you're in alignment, when you're in direct relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and you live holy, you expect great things to happen for you. Somebody say, I walk in the favor of the Lord. The Bible says he daily loads us with benefits. I don't know about you, but I need my benefits. And if you don't want yours, I'll take yours too. Hallelujah. 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 I remember that song, Lisa Page. I forgot their name, but they were saying, you're living is privilege. Y'all remember that song? It's like old. It's like an old song, but they're saying you're living beneath your privilege. You're living beneath your privilege. You're not accessing all of God's abundance because you're in sin. See, sin has a way of beginning to isolate you. It begins to push you off to the curve. But when you're living right and when you're walking in integrity, you expect the blessings of God everywhere you go, everywhere you look, you're looking. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody in here today? Hallelujah. Let's go to the scriptures. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. I need a reader. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was fine. And read loud for me. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 16, verses number 15 through 18. Can I get a reader? Hallelujah.
And he said to them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John.
Hold on, sister. Hallelujah. Are you at Luke 16, verse number 15? Let me just go ahead and read it. And he said unto him, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. and he believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will no means hurt them, by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Let's go over to Luke chapter 4, verse number 18. Luke chapter 4, verse number 18. Come on and read for me, Pastor Misty, prophetess. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4, verse number 18 and 19. Praise God.
And the Lord is upon me.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
He's anointed me to preach the gospel. And so somebody turn to your neighbor and say, I'm anointed. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm anointed. I mean, say it from your gut. Say it from your crawl. Say, I'm anointed. Continue.
Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. It is already done. The word is already made plain. Our assignments have been already given. It's time for us to move forward in the things of the kingdom. It's time for us to understand what God have called us to do. And as we get spiritual breakthroughs, one after another, we become more like Christ. I want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being faithful to the line. Thank you for all that you're doing. And we want to say, I hope you have your Bibles out, and I pray in the name of Jesus that you're ready, you're prepared. We're going to give you a few notes, and I just want you to understand that it's already done. We're walking through the process. Amen. God have already sent his son to die. Death had no power over his body, and he broke out, and he got a breakthrough to break in. Amen. So that's what we're going to talk about today, breaking out to break in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to just say, Father, we thank you for this time with you, Lord God, and we ask you in the name of Jesus, God, that you will come forth in our hearts. Everything that's not like you, Lord God, we ask you to show us as we press toward the mark of the high calling. God, put us in a place where you would have us to be spiritually, mentally, and physically so that we could be used for the master's use. I thank you for it, and we say hallelujah and praise the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You know, God promised a land to Abraham and all of his descendants, not just some of them, and he promised Abraham descendants a promised land. And they are called the children of Israel because they are all descendants from Abraham. Guess who Abraham was? Abraham was the grandson of Jacob. All right? We want to get it right. Whose name was changed to Israel. And Israel had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. And then they went to Egypt during a time of phantom after God had raised up their brother Joseph. You know the story about Joseph. To second in command, if you just be still and see the salvation of the Lord, you'll see the Lord promote you. As you continue to do the work of ministry, you'll begin to see you mature in the things of God. You'll begin to see the joy of the Lord coming on you. You'll begin to see that no weapon formed against you will prosper. You'll begin to see that every tongue that rises up against you in judgment is already condemned. It's just going through the process, breaking out, breaking through, so you can break in. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And how the Bible talks about, well, Exodus chapter 1, and I believe it's 5 all the way down to 11. Amen. Let me read it to you. The descendants of Jacob numbered 70 in all. Joseph was already in Egypt. Now, Joseph and all his brothers and all the generation died. Amen. But the Israelites were fruitful, and they were multiplied greatly, and they became exceedingly in numbers, so that the land was filled with them. Then a new king who did not know about Joseph came in power. Everything was in a new king's hand. And he came in power in Egypt. Look, the Bible said, he said to his people, the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war break out, will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So they must put slave masters over them to oppress them and force labor. See, they were being proactive because they were beginning to see what was probably going to happen. Amen? So they were making a plan. They were thinking ahead of time. Amen? Amen. And that's what we have to do. We have to begin to see ahead of time what the enemy is planning and plotting to do, because he's always up to something, and that's why it's very important that we're up to something too. Amen. So every time he shoot an arrow, that we're able to catch it, we're able to stop it, we're able to identify, we're able to counteract anything the enemy is trying to do. You know the story. You know when the enemy is trying to take over, when he's trying to do what he does, we have to be planning and be proactive. And that's what, amen, they were going to put them into forced labor. And they were going to put slave masters over them. Why? Because they wanted to oppress them. And this is exactly what the enemy does. He wants to oppress us. He wants to make us feel like we can't, make us feel like we won't, make us feel like we have not accomplished anything, make you feel like what has been. But anyway, so the children of Israel, they had a promise. Do you have a promise? Do you have a promise that is already done? Do you understand that God made us a promise? So the children of Israel had a promise, and they were embracing that promise that God would give them their own land, that God would give you your breakthrough, that God would allow you to see your sons and your daughters get grown. God would allow a promise. So they had the promise that God was going to give them their own land. But that promise, 40 years, 400 years to be fulfilled. But in the meantime, they became slaves in Egypt. So in order to get to their promised land, they first had to break out of Egypt, then break through the wilderness that was between them and their promise. How about you? How about you? And then they had to break into the city ruling their promised land. See, it's always going to cost us something. There's always something that we have to do in order to get to where we're trying to get to. We're talking about breaking out, breaking through, and breaking in. See, all of us have promises from God. But in order to obtain them, we must break out of whatever situation is holding us back, whatever demonic force that is trying to oppress us, whatever is holding us back, we must break through the wilderness. What? Yes, we must break through the wilderness. Anything that's between us and promised destiny, anything that's stopping us from getting from point A to point B, amen, anything that's stopping us from being proactive to solve problems and move forward, and then we must break in to the reality of those promises. I'm telling you, the word makes it very, very plain. I'm going to break it down in those three elements, and I want you to go with me. Amen. We're going to talk about breaking out. See, I'm not going to preach long, talk to you long on breaking out or breaking through, because we talked about that a few weeks ago. But the children of Israel had an enemy, just like we have enemies. But their enemy name was Pharaoh. And they could never get their promised land, or they couldn't get to what they knew was theirs until they had to get out of Egypt. See, See, Satan had Pharaoh, and then our God had kings. Amen. So this was, Pharaoh was the enemy to the people of Israel. And they could never get to their promised land until they got out of Egypt. So what happened? I'm so glad you asked. God sent a deliverer. See, God always have a ram in a bush. God always have a way of escape. God will always speak. You know, I said to someone today, you know, I was able to give them a little knowledge on a situation, and they said, thank you for the knowledge. But I say to you today, knowledge is power, but it's only power if it is applied. So it's safe for me to say, applied knowledge is power. You can have all the knowledge you want. You can have every single degree there is to have. But if you don't apply it, it's not power. Amen. So God sent a deliverer. You know his name. Yes, Moses. His name was Moses. Moses had power to set them free. And there were three keys to breaking out of Egypt. Let me tell you what it was. Speaking the word of the Lord, the name of the Lord, and the blood of the Lamb told Moses to tell Pharaoh, which was the enemy, that I am sent him. Who? Do you know who sent you? Moses said, I am. I am. God told Moses to tell him. And then God sent Pharaoh, told Moses to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. God, see, God was still moving. And then God sent plagues on Egypt to convince them to let my people go. But the last plague, sometimes it takes more for some than it will for others. Amen. So God kept releasing these plagues upon the land. How about COVID-19? You think it may be a plague upon the people? But let me just continue to move forward. And then God, after he sent that last plague on Egypt to convince them, or to convince Pharaoh to let the people go, the last plague was the death of all the firstborn sons. But guess what God did? Guess what he did? He sent the plague, children of Israel, by having each family kill a lamb and then put the blood on the lamb, of the lamb, on the doorpost of their house. You know the story. Put the blood of Jesus over your life, over your body, over, put the protection of believing that God raised Jesus from the dead, the blood that was shed for you. Put it on post and let people know who you stand for. But when the death angel saw the blood, when the death angel saw that you belong to God, when the death angel saw that you identify with Jesus Christ, it passed over that house. What do your house stand for? See, what we need to understand is that to break out of the, I'll say, the clutches of the enemy hand who want to hold us back, not only from salvation, but from freedom, from destiny, from purpose, from our promises, we must break out in the same way by speaking the word of God, by the word of the Lord, by the word of the Bible in the name of Jesus. And then by applying the blood of the Lamb, where do we apply it? We apply the blood over our hearts. We apply the blood over our life. Amen. Revelation 12 talks about it. You know what it said, 12 and 11. They overcame him. Who was him. By the blood of the Lamb, him is him, the enemy. And by the words of their testimony, what are you saying? And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. See, God is saying, you can overcome. You can break out and get your breakthrough by the blood of the Lamb and by your words of your testimony. Amen. And the blood of the, listen, there's power, there's safety, there's breakthrough in the blood of the Lamb. And for us to be, to break out, we must know the power of the word, the power of the name of Jesus, and the power of the blood. And when we break out, there's still a wilderness. There's still something between us and our promised land, and we must break through. Amen. We're talking about breaking out to get a breakthrough. Amen. Sometimes our mindset can hinder us from getting a breakthrough. We break out, but where do we go from here? What do we do next? Amen. So we're talking about breaking out, getting through. Amen. After the children of Israel broke out of Egypt, because God sent those plagues and the firstborn of the Egyptians died and Pharaoh's son was one of them, they had a journey through the wilderness that was between them and the promised land. So they still had to do something. See, God promised us some things, but it's up to us and incumbent upon us that we work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. We got work to do, people of God. We don't just sit still. We don't just sleep late. We don't just think that because God said it's going to manifest. No, we have to be progressively doing. So after the children of Israel had broke out of Egypt, they had a journey to take. They had to go through some things. They had to go through the wilderness. They had to go through some things, plain and simple. It was between them and the promised land. It shouldn't have never been a 40 years. It should have been fairly a short journey. I could imagine that it wasn't far, you know, but they ended up stuck in the wilderness over 40 years. Have you been stuck on something that shouldn't take you long to do, but you stuck? Let's find out what the problem is. So let's spend time on not the issue so much as the solution. But in order to get to the solution, we must understand what the problem is. And we can't fake it to make it. We just got to deal with it. Amen. Because in the wilderness experience, you got to go through something to get to something. So it's required that a breakthrough take place. I hear you. The problem is always there. We can always talk about the problem. The problem will always be there if we don't break through that wilderness experience. Amen. Why? Why did it end up taking the children of Israel 40 years? Why was they stuck in the wilderness? Why? I'm glad you asked. Repeated the same sin and unbelief. Oh, yes, they did. Oh, yes, they did. Numbers. Let me give you the scripture to explain. Numbers 23, hallelujah, and 13. Listen what the Bible says. So the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. man, you got to know who is on that ship. You got to know who you have in your house. You got to know who you are hanging with. You have to know who is causing you to be in the wilderness more years than you have to be. They were there, and these people that were evil in the sight of the Lord was causing them not to get their breakthrough. You know, sometimes, like the woman of God said earlier, there's some people you have around you that needs to go. There's some people that's in your ear that needs to be shut down. There are some things that you might be doing. There are some situations that we need to overcome. We need a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough. Amen. It took 40 years for something that probably took 4 days. Amen. So we understand why they had to be in the wilderness. They were stuck. How about you? Do you ever feel stuck? The Lord was angry at Israel. So you see, what is a wilderness? A wilderness is something that God wanted to let you rest in it. I didn't know God would want to take me through a wilderness. See, his goal is not to get us stuck, but his goal is to get you and I to our destiny, and our destiny is on the other side. So we have to be able to increase and multiply. Remember in the beginning I told you they were intimidated because they were great in numbers, and they kept multiplying, they kept being fruitful, and Egypt was like, they're going to take over. We got to cut this short. We got to put taskmasters over them because guess what? They're multiplying too much for me. God wants us to multiply. God wants us to be fruitful. God wants us to increase. God don't want us to be stuck on small things. Some of us, we just stuck on small things. Does not matter to the kingdom. So God's goal is to get us to our destiny, to the other side of this thing. And he wants us to get through our wilderness experience quickly. He wants us to learn from it. But you have to keep in mind that we have an enemy who want to keep us stuck in the wilderness, that want to cause us to be distracted, want to cause us not to be focused, want to cause us not dreaming of finishing, want to make us small-minded, amen, and then have you surrounded with people that have kindred spirits, and they're not trying to do anything either. So they stuck, and you get to be stuck in the wilderness with them, amen. God wants us to go through to get to. That's why the wilderness, it often, sometimes, it follows close behind a breakthrough. And the only way to break out is what? How do you get a break? How do you break out to get a breakthrough? It comes through repenting of our sins. Remember, God was angry at Israel because of sin and evil doing. So even though they were his children and we're his children, God was angry. And it caused him to allow Israel to be stuck in the wilderness. But even then, the battle is not over. We, after you repent from our sins, we still need to do what? So here we are in the wilderness, and we're seeking a breakthrough. Sometimes we just got to break in. You can't just say, oh, knock, knock. No. See, when the Israelites got to their promised land, wasn't over. No, it wasn't over. There were giants to subdue and fortified. It was a fortified city to conquer. Just say there was walls around the city. The first city was Jericho. You know the story. I know I'm teaching to Bible scholars. in Joshua 6, where it talks about now the gates of Jericho was securely barred between because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Remember, we're talking about breaking in. So breakthrough starts with identifying a problem, identifying the barrier, identifying the situation, understanding what you're dealing with. Remember, the people of God promised, and it was from God, but they had to face a big problem. Just because God promised you some things, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have to go through some things to get to some things. See, is there any walls in your life that you don't know how you're going to get around it, that you don't understand how you're going to get to it, but you know you got to break out to break through, to break in? I'm trying to tell you something. God wants us to break in to our blessing. See, the people of God knew that this was a big problem they was facing. Go ahead, the walls, and the Bible says the walls were 6 feet wide and 50 feet tall. So breaking in to that city, it was a huge problem. It was a problem. And God had promised them the land. But there is usually problems between the promise and the provision. So I have two questions today. What's your promise? What's your problem? Ask yourself that. What is your promise? And what is your problem? What's your promised land? And what's your Jericho? And I want to ask you, what is standing between you and your promise? Come on, somebody. See, breakthroughs start with identifying your Jericho. When strongholds, when you don't know what the problem is, breakthroughs start when you can identify your Jericho. What's a stronghold? Something that holds you strong. You could be stuck in a stronghold. See, a stronghold is something that needs to be come down, something that needs to be tore down. What miracle do you need to march around? Amen. You know, you and I should have a whole list of answers to these questions. But if you don't, there may be this next verse describes your life. Let's turn to James. James 4, verse 2. We're trying to get a breakthrough. Amen. James 4 and 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Sort of like you have not because you ask not. See, many times we don't receive the simple blessings because we don't ask. And sometimes we don't get breakthroughs because we got too much pride to ask. And the biggest tragedy in our lives is not unanswered prayers. It's unasked prayers. Come on, come on, come on. See, more than 1,000 years after the Jericho miracle, another miracle happened in the same town. In Matthew 20, verse 29 and 30 tells us that Jesus was on his way out of Jericho when two blind men yelled, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. What did Jesus do? Jesus stopped and he asked a pointed question. See, Jesus was direct. He wasn't indirectly addressing them. He wasn't a signifying monkey. You know, you got people to signify and they want you to catch on and solve their problem. No, Jesus was direct because it was directly to Jesus. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? You know, because he knew they were calling out and they were saying, hey, son of David, we need you. He knew they wanted something because they were yelling. And, you know, he like, hey, there's no sense of wasting time. What do you want? What do you want me to do? Seriously. Is that question even necessary? Isn't it obvious to you that Jesus can provide and fulfill all of your needs? Isn't it obvious to you? Now, let me ask you this. If you're blind, what would you want Jesus to do for you? What do you want of me? Jesus was asking them. See, they're blind. And yet Jesus forced them to verbalize exactly what they wanted from him. So if anybody come and they signifying, make them ask you. Because it's a breakthrough in asking. Don't let them signify. Make them ask you, because that's putting that stinky flesh under subjection of the authority of Christ. You are anointed to preach the gospel. You are anointed to get a breakthrough. You are anointed to get a breakthrough. You hear me? Listen, say it to yourself. I'm anointed. I can break out, break through, and break in. But seriously, he wanted them to spell it out, not because Jesus didn't know what they wanted. Oh, he knew, because guess what? He's all-knowing. But he wanted to make sure that they knew what they wanted. He wanted them to ask. Amen. Some people, Lord Jesus, but when they asked to see in verse 34, it was saying Jesus had compassion on them. What did he do? And he touched their eyes. And immediately, not the next day, not as they went, but immediately they received their sight. Immediately they received their sight. And guess what they did? They followed him. Isn't he a great, great, great God? See, if Jesus asked you this very same question, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, seriously, would you be able to spell it out clearly? Man, I don't know. Some of us would be like trying to wonder, what do I actually want? So indecisive and don't even know what you want. Write it down, make it plain so those that read it can run with it. I'm not afraid to ask, but I'm afraid many of us have no idea what we want God to do for us. And the great irony of the story is, if we don't know what we want, how can we ask? And if we don't ask, if we can't ask, it won't be given. The Bible said, ask and it shall be given. And if we can't answer this question, then we're as blind as the blind man. Spiritually, as these blind men are physically. Hebrews chapter 11 and 1 says, now faith, amen, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now faith. So if faith is being sure of what we hope for, then being unsure is the opposite of faith. See, uncertainties equal unbelief. Unbelief equals unanswered prayers. And that equals no breakthrough. So we have to be well developed in our faith to get results. See, our breakthrough is based on the word from God. We can't just arbitrarily pick anything that you want from God. We must spell it out. And how do we spell it out? Through God hears us, and he'll do what we ask. And I'm going to read this last scripture, and then I'm going to let you go. Praise the Lord. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. And on the seventh day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpet, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse and the army will go up and everyone straight in." We got a breaking in, people of God. See, I'm sure that seasoned soldier thought this plan seemed like nonsense. So we're going to march around the city. Why not use a battle ram? Why not scale the walls? Why not the water supply? Why not shoot flames or arrows around the wall? But instead, God told Israel, he told the army to silently circle the city. And their deliverance was based on what? It's based on their obedience. Our breakthrough is based on our obedience to what the word of God is saying. Come on. Not our way, but his way. And how do we know his way? By being in his presence, studying the word of God, learning his ways, and then we act on it. So just like faith is linked with the word, the works is dead. Likewise, prayer is linked with the promises of God. When you pray the promises of God, you can pray with confidence. Glory to God. I'm going to end right here because yet my time is up. But I want to thank you. We're going to finish this next week because I want you to understand that we got to break out to get our breakthrough. Amen. There's over 3,000 promises in the scriptures. That's based on what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And every promise belongs to you and I. Every promise belongs to you and I. Every promise belongs to you and I. Why are we stuck in the wilderness? Glory be to God. Hallelujah, people of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this time with you. God, show us how to break out. Show us how to break through. God, show us how to break in. Show us how to take the land. Show us how to accomplish the things that you called us to accomplish, Father. Father, let us see distractions, God. Let us acknowledge you in all our ways. Father, we thank you that we yield and we will delight ourselves in you as you direct our path. Father, cover everyone on this line with the blood of Jesus. Let us know how to love, forgive, and move forward. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. There's nothing lost according to your word. Glory be to God. So in the name of Jesus, I say to you today, put a praise on it because that's what God had the people of Israel do. March around that giant and tear down that wall. God bless everyone. Have a super day. Let me walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. God bless you all and thank you for joining.
There's a miracle in this room with my name on it. There's a healing in this room and it's here for me. There's a breakthrough in this room. Got my name on it. So I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Somebody put a praise on it. There's a miracle. Yes, somebody to release some praise in this room. I declare that wherever you are, miracles are breaking off in your house.